From two beautifully scenic and historic locations, the Hudson Valley, New York, and Willow, Alaska. This is the Side Vibe, brought to you by Dog Works Radio. Your hosts are author, journalist, and photographer, the Five Sides mom, Dorothy Wills Raftery, and Dog Works Radio executive producer, canine behaviorist, trainer, and lead musher of Team Aneke, Robert Forto. The Side Vibe is all about the magnificent breed of the Siberian Husky. From training to grooming, and for those who show and breed, from parenting to playing and rescuing huskies in need, whether mushing over snow-covered trails or lounging on tropical shores, even for Hollywood sibes on the big silver screen and so very much more. If it's about a Siberian Husky, we'll chat about it here.
Hello and welcome, everybody. You are listening to the Side Vibe here on Dog Works Radio, and joining us from New York is our co-host. Her name is Dorothy Wills Raftery. Dorothy, how's it going?
Hi, Robert. It's going really well. As you know, this is our fifth anniversary show. I can't believe we've been doing this for 5 years.
That's awesome.
We've had some wonderful, all our guests have been fantastic, and I still remember back to when you and I were planning this, so to be here at 5 years, it feels pretty special, and thank you to you the Dog Works Radio family.
It does. I can't believe it either. You know, we have had some great guests on, and I look forward to the next few years as well.
Same here. Now, also, Robert, it's hard to believe. It's actually back to school time. Our guest today is Kathy Armato, and she's a freelance writer and pet blogger and one half of the therapy dog team with her beautiful Siberian Husky, Icy. Kathy is passionate about the human-animal bond and animal welfare issues. Her blog is Dogs Love Us and We Love Them, and that's Love, L-U-V, in both cases. And they focus on health, safety, and travel with pets, particularly dogs, as well as animal welfare topics. She's a lifelong animal lover, an animal shelter volunteer, and dog fosterer. She and Icy volunteer throughout their community as Pet Partners Therapy Dog Team, and they visit people in a variety of settings, such as children's reading programs, high schools, colleges, nursing homes, a homeless shelter, and a center for mentally challenged adults. Icy also accompanies Kathy on her travels to some pretty cool places, along with their Maltese Havanese mix sister, Phoebe. And they've gone from the desert beauty of Arizona to Long Island's beautiful beaches and shore towns and many USA towns in between. So I'm really excited about talking to her. Kathy, welcome to the Side Vibe.
Hi, Dorothy. Thanks for that wonderful introduction. It's so nice to be on the Side Vibe with you today.
I know. I'm very excited about having you on. Kathy, since it's back to school time, I want to kind of jump right in with the work that you and Icy do. And what made you first interested in doing therapy dog work?
Well, you know, Dorothy, I had heard about therapy dogs for quite a while and how they can help people in need. And it just really interested me. And then I ended up finding two great books that talked about therapy dogs and about the many ways that pets can help people. So one of the books was Angel on a Leash by David Fry, and the other was The Healing Power of Pets by Dr. Marty Becker. And I know probably all of us are familiar with those two wonderful men. And these books were so heartwarming and so inspiring to me, and I learned a lot about the human-animal bond as well. So I remember thinking after I read them, you know, I'd love to have a dog one day that I could train to be a therapy dog and maybe help people throughout our community.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you mentioned on your blog that Icy had the perfect temperament right from the start to be a therapy dog. Can you tell us some of the attributes that are key for a dog to excel at that job?
Sure. You know, I was volunteering at the county animal shelter in Phoenix at the time, so I was always meeting new dogs and observing their personalities and temperaments. And when we met Icy, she just had the most beautiful temperament. She was the sweetest, most loving dog. She was super friendly. She loved everyone she met, people and dogs. And those are probably the top most important characteristics of a therapy dog, I think. It's also extremely important that a therapy dog not be aggressive in any way. They can't be fear aggressive or show any aggression towards people or other dogs. They don't need to be a purebred dog. They don't need to do fancy tricks or anything like that. But it's really important that they learn the all-important basic commands like sit, leave, and come when called. So they really have to have those basic commands really nailed down. And those are probably some of the most important things.
Now, how did you and Icy become a Pet Partners therapy dog team?
Well, like I said, I kind of really wanted to be a therapy dog handler for a while. And when we got Icy, you know, I had heard about Pet Partners for a while now, and they were formerly known as Delta Society, which you probably have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
They were the most well-known at the time, so I wanted to work with them as a therapy dog team. And I knew that Icy had a wonderful personality and temperament, just the kind you need to be a therapy dog, and I felt she'd be a great therapy dog if she could just get all the training down. So we enrolled her in a puppy class, and she did great. She mastered all the basic commands really well. She was solid. And dogs have to be about a year old to become a Pet Partner therapy dog team. They also have to acquire their AKC Canine Good Citizen certification, and then they have to pass the Pet Partner therapy dog evaluation. So after completing puppy class, I worked with my Pet Smart trainer to get her AKC Canine Good Citizen certificate. She passed so easily. She did great. Then we started working on all the things that she would need to know for the Pet Partner therapy dog evaluation, like how to greet a friendly stranger politely, encountering a neutral, friendly dog without reacting, and other elements of the evaluation. So after our training, Icy was evaluated by a Pet Partners evaluator, and she passed with flying colors, and we were on our way, and it's been about 4 years now since we've been a therapy dog team, and we've just been loving it.
That's fantastic. I follow some of your articles on your blog and your photos, and you guys do some really great work. Now,
Thank you, Dorothy.
Some people with the therapy and service dog, some people can confuse the difference. Can you just kind of explain the difference between the two titles and the two responsibilities?
Oh, definitely. You know, it's amazing. People do still often confuse a therapy dog with a service dog. A service dog is a dog that's very specially trained to assist a person with a specific disability to perform specific daily tasks. So a great example, of course, is a guide dog for the blind, or assisting someone with PTSD, or alerting on medical conditions such as, you know, a person with epilepsy about to have a seizure or something like that. Someone's safety and even their life can depend on a service dog. A therapy dog, however, is very different. They bring comfort and smiles, or they brighten someone's day if they're feeling down and they need some emotional support. And it's a known fact that just petting an animal can reduce blood pressure and stress levels. So therapy dogs can be helpful in a lot of different areas, like helping kids with their reading skills, which is my favorite thing, visiting hospitals, visiting nursing homes, homeless shelters, or any other place that people may need a little extra emotional support. One important point I'd like to make, Dorothy, is that service dogs fall under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and therefore they are granted access to all public places by law. Therapy dogs, on the other hand, are not protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act, so they do not automatically have that kind of access. People are always confused about that.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, in your blog, you also talk about how beneficial it is for children to read aloud to dogs. Can you tell us some of the ways in which this is a positive learning experience and how even children who do not have dogs at home can benefit from a reading program with a therapy dog?
Oh, sure. You know, I was always a bookworm, and I always loved reading as a child. I bet you did too, Dorothy.
Yes.
So a reading program where kids can read out loud to dogs to improve their reading skills is like right up my alley. It may sound a little bit unconventional to a lot of people, but when I researched it, I learned that these programs actually allow kids to improve their reading skills in a very non-judgmental way. So the basics are that reading out loud to a child's room or at night when you read to your child really helps a child improve reading skills by hearing what the words and sentences should sound like. And reading aloud themselves helps them hear if they themselves are reading correctly, if it sounds right when they read it out loud. So this is a really helpful thing. And reading to a dog helps children build confidence without fear of judgment or embarrassment by parents or teachers or other kids because, you know, no one is grading them. No one's continually correcting them or criticizing their reading or laughing at them. In a classroom, kids who don't read well don't want to read. You know, it's embarrassing for them, and they can feel like they're failing because They constantly compare themselves to other kids in the class, of course. So reading to a dog in a different environment just kind of removes all of that baggage, if you will. I mean, I'm not a teacher in any way. I'm not a reading teacher or an educator in any way. But, you know, I know that it really helps when I'm there with them and the dog is there, because we don't judge. I'm not going to grade them. I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to tell them, oh, you know, that word isn't right or anything like that. It's just, you need help with a word, point to it, I'll help you. If you want to know what it means, I'll help you. And also, you know, it's fun. The dogs motivate these reluctant readers who don't really like to read and are afraid that they don't read well. It's fun to go to a library and sit with a dog, pet the dog, ask questions about the dog, and read as well. And kids who don't have a dog at home, it's like thrilling for them to go to a library and see a dog, especially a husky who is just so strikingly beautiful. And a lot of kids will say, snow dog, snow dog. You know, it's a totally different environment for them to learn. It's a fun and easier environment for them to learn in. And, you know,
it sounds like such a positive way for them. And I would also think that having the dog in there, if you have some of these shyer children or the children, as you said, you know, if we put ourselves back in, you know, that grade level, if you're embarrassed at all, you know, as you said, it's hard for them to participate. Well, the attention's now on the dog more, so I think that would also help the children to maybe come out of their shell a little bit more and not feel so embarrassed, because a lot of this attention is on the dog.
Oh, absolutely. That's such a good point, Dorothy, because even the parents will sit and ask questions about the dogs, and sometimes I think the parents are getting more out of it than the kids. They just love it. So, yeah, you know, the focus is not on me. It's on this dog. We're all focusing together on this dog, and I'm reading, too. So that's a good point.
It's wonderful. Now, you have a wonderful photo of Icy with my children's book, The Five Sides Tale, Getting Healthy with Harley. And that photo is on your blog and on our show listing over at dogworksradio.com if anybody would like to check out that great picture. And that's pretty exciting for me to see my book in action. do your children choose the books to read when you go?
Yeah, I love that I have your book, by the way. Yes, you know, every library or school is a little bit different, but usually the kids do get to select whatever they want. Sometimes the library will select a collection of books and have them in the room. But, you know, oftentimes the kids will pick out like two or three books, and sometimes they have a book and it's just too easy for them and they just blow right through it and then they're done. Or a book is too hard and then they feel frustrated. Or they just don't like the book they chose and they want to get another one. But they get so little time. You know, they get maybe 10 to 15 minutes to read with the dog. So for them to go out and look through the books and pick another one, you know, they'll use up all their time. So I like to bring a couple of books with me so that I can offer them, hey, how about this? And one of the books that I love taking with me is Getting Healthy with Harley. And I won that on your site a couple of years ago, and I just love it. And many of the kids have really enjoyed reading your book. And I think I emailed you about one little boy who was reading it because he was not enjoying the books he picked, and so he chose that one. And he saw when you said, oh, you know, Harley's Who Mom, and he just got such a kick out of that. He said to me, what's a who mom? I said, well, that's a human mom, like your mom or my mom. And he just giggled over that. He loved it.
Oh, that is, I tell you, I'm grinning over here. So, I mean, you know, as a writer and a blogger and author, you love to hear feedback like that. So that's so thrilling for me.
Good.
And, you know, thank you for that. And I'm so thrilled that you share that with me. And a little surprise for our listeners, because it is our fifth anniversary, we are going to be doing a giveaway of the Getting Healthy with Harley book. So if you could just, anyone who would like to participate, we're going to run it out for a week so that I can also post it on my blog and have others included. But if you can leave a note on the dogworksradio.com, the -Sibe-Vibe link that Kathy and I have both shared, it would have to be on the Dog Works Radio page for this show, and let us know, is Kathy's dog Icy a therapy dog or a service dog? And then we will randomly choose one winner to send Getting Healthy with Harley with in celebration of our fifth anniversary.
Oh, what a great giveaway, Dorothy. That's wonderful. And I can vouch for the fact that kids really do like it.
That's awesome. That's the best thing I could ever hear. Thank you. Now, Kathy, when my mother was in the hospital, she had a fall, and my mom was 94, and she had a visit from a therapy dog. This one was a beautiful standard poodle, and at the time, my mom was scared and confused, as you can imagine, after the fall. But, you know, I sat there, and I watched her smile come back when she saw this dog, and the lady let her pet her, and she even shared stories my mom did of poodles that she's had in the past, because they were always one of her favorite breeds. And it was just so awesome to see this up close and firsthand. Of course, you know, this is my mom, so anything that would make her feel better is wonderful. And I just wanted to ask, like, what positive reactions have you had when you and Icy go into specialized facilities?
Well, you know, it's very similar to what you just said. In fact, when I went to one of the nursing homes, there was a floor with Alzheimer's patients at the nursing home. And many times an Alzheimer's patient cannot remember people or places and so many things. But so many times, almost all the time, they remember how to interact with a dog. They remember how to pet a dog. They know what they're looking at. And my mom had Alzheimer's as well, and she passed at 94. So I can totally relate to your mom being in a nursing home. And, you know, many times not only is it amazing for the Alzheimer's patients because they're so happy to see the dog. The dog's not asking, did you take your medicine today, Mom? What did the doctor say? You know, are you eating enough? Are you drinking enough? You know, it's the dog, they just be. You know, they're just there to make the patient smile and make them happy. And they do often say, you know, when I was a child, I had a dog. And they can start recounting things from when they were kids or when they were very, you know, fairly young adults, what kind of dog they had. They tell me all about their dog. And, you know, I had one incident where a new woman had just come into the nursing home, and the family, the daughter and her husband, had brought her there, and they were so distraught and so worried about her. And I can really, now I can really relate to that. But they brought her in there, and amazingly, when their mom, who was not at all responding, like she wasn't responsive at all, I brought my dog to her, and she, you know, she kind of looked over, and then next thing you know, she's putting her hand out to pet the dog. And the impact on her family, they were so grateful to see that sense of normalcy and some reaction. And now I understand what that was about. So that was really impactful to me.
It is. I can imagine the feeling. And I'm sorry about your mom. My mom, too, passed. So I like to thank both of them are tuning into our show from heaven today to hear us talking about the great work that you and Icy do.
Aw, thanks.
Now, if you're just tuning in, this is the Side Vibe on DogWorks Radio, and we are talking with writer, pet blogger, and dog mom, Kathy Armato. Kathy and her Siberian Husky, Icy, are a therapy dog team. Kathy is also the writer and pet blogger over at Dogs Love Us and We Love Them, and that's L-U-V. And she is a member of the BlogPaws social media learning community and one of the BlogPaws 2017 conference ambassadors. Kathy, Icy, and their Maltese Havanese mix, Phoebe, love to travel, and she has highlighted some amazing dog-friendly places in her blog, spanning from the stunning vistas of Arizona to the beautiful beaches of the Long Island Sound. You can follow Kathy, Icy, and Phoebe over at, and that's dogs, L-U-V, us, and we, L-U-V, them, .blogspot.com. And they also have a Facebook page of the same name that you can go over and like and follow their adventures. And links to these sites will also be listed on the show's website today at radio at dogworksradio.com/the-side-vibe. And we'll also be coming up in a blog post over on my Five Sides blog, and that's also blogspot.com, and also on my Five Sides Siberian Husky Canine News and Reviews Facebook page. And you can catch both Robert and I on Twitter, and that's at DogWorks Radio, at Five Sides Mom, and you can catch Kathy at Cal Loves Dogs, and that's C-A-L-U-V-S-D-O-G-S. And just another reminder for our listeners, for our little fifth-year anniversary surprise, we're going to be doing a drawing for my book, The Five Sides Tale, Getting Healthy with Harley, that we were just talking about with Kathy. And you just have to go over to the show's page on dogworksradio.com and leave us a comment on is Kathy's therapy dog, I probably just gave it away, but that's okay. It's Kathy's dog, Icy, is a therapy or service dog. And then we'll randomly choose one winner on August 27th. Wow, don't ever give me a birthday or anniversary secret. Kathy, in your awesome blog, you also cover many dog-related topics, ranging from pet safety to product reviews, and you even wrote a piece, 100 Places to See with Your Dog. What are some of your top recommendations for U.S. dog-friendly places to visit?
Now, at the top of my list, I have to say, hands down, Sedona, Arizona is just the best. As you know, I lived in Phoenix, Arizona for 9.5 years, and we were very lucky to make many trips up to Sedona. And, you know, it's funny because people are always heading to the Grand Canyon, passing by Sedona, which is only about an hour away from the Grand Canyon. But at the Grand Canyon, dogs have very limited access. They're only allowed really up on the rim. But in Sedona, they are allowed everywhere. Sedona is super dog-friendly. They have dog-friendly hotels, restaurants with their outdoor patios. And some of them actually even have a doggy meal on their menu, like Ken's Creekside actually has a little doggy meal, which I think is so great. And by the way, apparently
cool.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do love it. And there are miles and miles of absolutely spectacular hiking trails, and they're all dog-friendly. So I would say don't miss Sedona, Arizona. And if you're looking on the East Coast, one of my favorites is Montauk, Long Island. Long Island in general is not very dog-friendly at all, but they're getting there. They're making progress. It's a slow process. There's a group, Long Island Dog Owners Association, who work to get more access to public places, parks, and things for dogs. But Montauk is one of the more dog-friendly destinations on Long Island. They have a beautiful historic lighthouse and beach that the dogs can go on. The beach, not inside the lighthouse because it's historic, of course, but on the beach. Camp Hero Beach next door, it's fantastic.
Well,
if you're in the
wonderful.
Middle of the country, yeah. And if you're in the middle of the country, we love Arkansas, the natural state. They call it the natural state for a reason, like Eureka Springs and Cold Springs. They have lots of dog-friendly hiking and parks and things, lots of dog-friendly hotels. There are probably so many more places in Arkansas that welcome dogs that I don't even know about. And even in Virginia, Colonial Williamsburg, believe it or not, is dog-friendly. They're really quite dog-friendly over there. And it's a great place. It's very educational for kids. And, you know, the kids can bring the dog along and learn about history, and they'll love that.
Oh, that's really great to hear. I think these things are going to be going on my bucket list. And, you know, being a fellow New Yorker, and I do have family in Long Island, and I haven't been out to the beaches since I was a child. So hearing that some of these places and seeing some of your photos, which are stunning beach photos with your dogs,
you.
I'm going to have to put that on my list and come down there and hopefully see you too and have you up here as well.
Oh, I'd love to come, definitely. But be careful with the beaches out here. They're really very restrictive, other than out in Montauk. They're a little bit better at those two beaches.
That's great. And then, again, folks can check out over on your blog because you do, track some of the places, and you have some great photos. So anyone who's interested in visiting some of these dog-friendly places, please check out Kathy's blog and her 100 Places to See with Your Dog. Mm-hmm. Now, what are a few of your...
I have a pet travel tab on the top.
Oh, that's awesome. You have it. All right. So just really quickly, what's in your pet travel bag?
Well, in the tab on my blog, the pet travel tab, I have tips for road trips, tips for flying with your pet, which is one of my most popular posts, believe it or not, and a bunch of the dog-friendly places that we've been to across the country. So you get a lot more information there.
Excellent. So be sure to check out her tab on that. That's wonderful. Those would be some great pointers. And I'm going to have to check out the flying one. I haven't flown yet, so I'm going to be sure to check that out so that I have that in it to retain. Now, what are a few of your top tips when folks travel with their dogs?
Well, you know, when you're looking for dog-friendly hotels, first of all, the thing I really recommend the most is make a reservation in advance. Don't just pop in off the highway, because these dog-friendly rooms often book up really, really fast. And during peak travel season, there may not be any rooms left. So I've gotten stuck before, so this is why I'm saying it. Make a reservation in advance. Make sure you always call. Tell them how many dogs you have. They'll probably ask what kind, what size, et cetera. And hotels change their rules frequently. So, and I have, you know, experienced this, where you've gone to a dog-friendly hotel last year. This year you called to make a reservation. They go, oh, I'm sorry, we don't accept pets anymore. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, definitely do it in advance. And ask ask about any and all fees, because some hotels, you know, the fees are really, really vast. They can be really low. They can be free. They can be ridiculously high. So ask if it's how much it is. Is it per pet? Is it per stay? Because different hotels operate differently. And some, like La Quinta, are free all the time, which is nice. So always do
tips.
That. Yeah.
Excellent tip.
Ask
Thank
about
you.
It. Sure.
Now, you and I are also – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I think we
oh,
have
no,
a slight lag like, because
– Oh, okay, sorry. But please, you know, make sure your dog always has tags and hopefully a microchip and always have a first aid kit with you.
Excellent
okay.
tips. Thank you. And I apologize to our listeners because sometimes when we're on air, because we're spanning across the country via cell phone and cordless phones, sometimes we get a little lag. So thank you for bearing with us whenever these little things happen. Kathy, you and I are also both members of Blog Plus, which does so much to help support other bloggers and to promote animal welfare and social media presence for the pet industry. You were one of their conference ambassadors last year and attended with both Icy and Phoebe. What was the most surprising thing about this experience for you and the best thing for Icy and Phoebe?
Well, yeah, you know, Blog Plus is such an awesome community. I really love it. People are so passionate about animals, and they really want to help them. And we all help each other as well, as you said. And
mm-hmm.
I think several times, so I knew what to expect. But, you know, so not too much surprises me. But the one thing that really surprised me this year was just how much money was donated to animal welfare organizations. The donations this year were enormous. They had an anonymous donor come forth, generous individual or company, we don't know, but they really gave a great amount of money to help animals in need. That was really so surprising and so inspiring. I was really impressed by that. And I was also really impressed by some of the companies that come to the conference that aren't just there to, you know, promote their own products. They're there to promote the things they realize that we as bloggers in the pet space care about, like Bayer Animal Health, who promotes the Pet and Women's Safety Act being passed, which is so crucial because a lot of abused women, mm-hmm. domestic violence victims, will not leave their abuser because they don't want to leave their pet behind. So this piece of legislation is going to help, you know, find a place for those pets where they don't have to be given up at shelters. They're either going to make more shelters accept pets or partner with shelters close by where the victim does not have to give up their pet. They can still see their pet and know their pet is safe. And also Natural Balance, supporting the guide dogs for the blind. And they've both done events during the conference to help support not just their products, but these really important initiatives that they know that we really care about a lot. And I love companies that give back to pets and people, and I'm happy to give those kind of companies my business, you know.
Absolutely.
And the best thing for Icy, yeah, and the best thing for Icy and Phoebe at the conference
mm-hmm.
is not only do they get to meet everybody and everybody fawns all over them, but they come home with boatloads of treats, and they get tons of treats there and new food and all that kind of stuff, so they just love it.
That's awesome. That's totally awesome. Now, what is it about being a pet blogger that brings you the most joy, Kathy?
You know, being a pet blogger, I love the sense of community and the feeling that I'm part of something bigger and more meaningful that really helps people and helps people be better stewards of their pets. And, you know, it really just, you know, you're part of a community of people who actively work to help pets in need. You know, people who are promoting adoption, people who are promoting things like the PAWS Act, people who are promoting therapy dogs and all kinds of things. So for me, it's being a part of that community and that shared goal,
That's
and that we
wonderful.
Help each other.
Yeah, it is great. It's a great avenue, and I just think it's a fantastic network. It really is.
It is.
I mean, being a blogger is how I met you. So, you know, it brings
right,
all of us
right.
together that normally wouldn't have that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Robert, I know we're gearing up here to wrap up the show, and I just want to check in. Is there anything that you'd like to ask Kathy?
No, excellent information for sure. I really appreciate the tips. We do a lot of traveling, and I think we might have to check out some of your places that you have on your list.
Oh, please do. You'll enjoy it. Thank you, Robert.
It sounds great. And
you're
I can't believe it's back to school time. I mean, I know some students are already back in school. I know, Kathy, you and I here in New York, our kids are gearing up to go back in another 2 weeks. With the new school year fast approaching in New York and others in it, what's up first for you and Icy? What's the first thing that you guys are going to be doing?
Well, first of all, you know, having a Husky, I know everybody can relate to this, fall means cooler weather. So lots more hiking and outdoor activities. We're definitely going to do that. In terms of therapy dog work, we're going to be probably heading back to the local high school. We go and visit the high school maybe every other week. And, you know, some of the kids are, like, real stressed out. And also it brings them together. They can come into the office that they put us in, and they can, you know, interact with each other in a really relaxing way. And it just reduces their stress and makes them happy. You know, it's a really nice thing. This is kind of a feel-good thing. And also we'll be participating in quite a lot more Reading to Dogs programs. And as you get through the year, you know, your child starts early in the year, and you will very soon find out if your child is behind the rest of the class in reading. So those programs tend to ramp up as we get closer to the holidays. So I anticipate doing a lot more of those things.
Wonderful. We can all follow your adventures and Icy's therapy dog work over on your blog. And I look forward to, you know, talking to you more. And just want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us about, you know, Icy's work, your work as therapy dog team, and about your travels and all the pointers. So thank you so much. It's been fun having you on.
Oh, yeah, it's been great fun. Dorothy, thanks so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it. And it's just been a pleasure to talk with you today. On the side.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon, Kathy.
Okay,
Robert.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, guys, and we will talk to you next time on the side vibe. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Robert. Bye-bye.